acknowledge that you're the God who doesn't give up on us, Lord, that you are the God who is there for us from before we're born until after we die, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much that you love us, Lord, and you want the best for us, and you want to speak to every one of us here tonight, Lord. And so I pray that you would just sit with us, Lord, and that you would speak to us, and that you would open our hearts and minds, and that you would bring in the rest of the youth safely tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, tonight's topic is a very special one. When I was thinking about it, as I usually do, I was thinking about one thing. I'm fascinated by Jesus. I really am. I've been fascinated by Jesus since I was a kid. Because when I started, I was fascinated by him because I knew he was God and I knew that he was amazing and he'd done all these amazing things, raised people from the dead, you know, opened the eyes of the blind, healed the lame and all this kind of stuff. But when I started reading about him as I grew older in the Gospels, when I was, say, 16, 17, I started to admire Jesus for very different reasons. Obviously, all the cool stuff is still very cool and it's still very amazing. The power of God is displayed through Christ. But I started to admire Christ for his character, for the way that he spoke, for the way that he interacted with people, for the fact that whenever he came up against a person who had an opposite point of view, when Jesus spoke, it was either that person had nothing to say back to him, or that person was genuinely looking for an answer, found it in the words of Christ. Jesus never said a word that was out of place, never wasted a word. It was always right. He wasn't faced with a decision where he was like, oh, I'm not really sure what to do. He was so decisive, so constant, so grounded. His character is always like that. Always reflecting what God wants. Always reflecting what God would do, because he is God. And that's why I came to admire Christ. Who I want to be like this person who is just so stable in the way that he lives his life. So precise and so decisive. And nothing is out of place and nothing is wasted. That's what Jesus is like, and that's why I admire him for it. And that's why I want to be like Jesus. But that character comes from, obviously, time spent with God, but it comes from a heart being full of God and outworking to your actions. It starts inward and goes outward. It's not the other way around. And that's what happens when we all become Christians. God begins to work within us inwardly through the Holy Spirit, and that comes outwardly, okay? That comes out in our actions. Now, for the first time ever, this is another reason why tonight is special. I'm using a PowerPoint, boys and girls, after like, I don't know how long. Anyway, so, tonight is about black, white, and gray. And I'll explain what that means in a second, okay? But really the focus of tonight is godly decision making. How do I make a decision? How do I know that it's the right one? Little decisions, big decisions, these are the things, when you put them together, all these tiny decisions make up your pattern of behavior, and your pattern of behavior makes up your character. So it's really these minute by minute, day by day, month by month, year by year decisions that we make that form who we are as people and as followers of Christ. So we want to get this right on a daily basis. We don't want to get it just right in the really big things or in the really little things. We want it all the time. Okay? So, in the Bible, it's okay, you can go back. No, go back. Okay. In the Bible, right, there are things that are clear cut. There are things that are black, this is wrong, and there are things that are white, this is right. It's really obvious, okay? Like some things that we all know, okay, you've heard this before, don't have sex before marriage, for example. This is probably the biggest one you've all heard, right? That's not God's plan for you. God has a better way for you. Black and white, it's easy to tell. When I say, okay, when you ask somebody that question, all of you in this room, I would hope, would know the answer. Right? It's not a difficult one. But then we come to this thing called the gray. Okay? This line that's in between, which is actually where most of our day-to-day decisions are made. This gray area. Not everything that I do in my life, I find a verse where I go, oh, that was in Romans 12, you know, verse 5. Don't listen to Tupac. Yep, that was 2 Opinions chapter 3, verse 5. No, there's no verse that says don't do that or do that, right? There are things that fall into the gray area. Drinking, tattoos, How much can I, you know, go in a relationship? How far should I be able to push? Can I hold hands? Can I kiss? Can I... Right? There is middle ground where we're not really sure what it is, what's right and what's wrong. How far can I push this line? Is there a line? Right? That's what we want to talk about tonight. What's the process that we go through in terms of thinking to figure out whether something is right or wrong? Okay? And you can put, you can fill in the blank for this right and wrong, whatever it might be. You fill in the blank for what that is. I'm not going to expand on that. But next week we're going to have a panel and you can ask your questions, okay? Because I know that you will have heaps of questions after this, hopefully, right? Black, white, and gray, we're focusing on the gray today, okay? Rather than freedom, okay? This verse is probably one of the most misused verses in all of the Bible, all right? Check this out. I have the right to do anything, you say. Let's stop there for a second. This is Paul speaking. He says, I have the right to do anything. Because in the Old Testament, there were the Ten Commandments, there was the law, but when Jesus came, there was no more law. We're in a relationship with Christ based on love. We do things because we love Him, not because it's written down and we have to keep certain commandments. So technically speaking, I can do whatever I want. And that's what this verse says. I can literally do whatever I want. Hence the big freedom with exclamation mark at the top. I can do whatever I want. But the rest of the verse gives it context and gives it background. But not everything is beneficial. The standard has changed now. I'm not just reading lines off a piece of paper that God has written and said, these are the commandments, you have to do them. No, I'm a big boy now. And I get to think for myself and make a decision and say, I have the right to do anything. I do. In Christ I have freedom. I can do whatever I want. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Not everything will build me up. Not everything will bring me closer to God. I'm in a relationship now, not based on works, not based on rules that have been written down. I'm in a relationship with God based on love. The standard is now higher, not lower, than what it was in the Old Testament. Because he doesn't have to, as a little kid, give me a list of rules to follow and make sure you follow these. No, do you love me? Then follow me. It's that simple. Make the decision that will lead you to me, that will lead you closest to me. And that's what tonight is about. I can do whatever I want, but not everything is constructive and not everything is beneficial. But no one should seek their own good, but the good of others, and we'll cover that later on. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Okay. Step one in the decision-making process. When I'm thinking about something, whether it's major or minor, whether it's big or small, I think about this. Is it honoring to God? That's step one. I had a bracelet. I saved up for 2 weeks to buy this bracelet when I was 8 years old, and it had WWJD on it. Who knows what that stands for? What would Jesus do? WWJD, right? And we would wear that, and not only did it look really cool, but what was supposed to happen is when we were in Sunday school, when we were about to make a decision, we would look at our wrists and it would say, what would Jesus do? And then bam, right? You'd have to rethink your decision. Or at least, you know, if Jesus would do it, then you would do it. And if Jesus wouldn't do it, then you wouldn't do it. Really simple, right? For some reason, as we grow up, that simple logic, which is true, for some reason gets lost in translation, gets lost in me growing up and me becoming mature. Really, this is your golden rule. What would Jesus do? It's the simplest way to figure out whether something is honoring to God or not. Keep going, Brother Daniel, and we'll cover this. How does it reflect on God? This decision that I'm about to make, this place that I'm about to go, this movie that I'm about to watch, these friends I'm about to hang out with, this drink I'm about to have, whatever. How does it reflect on God? People know that I'm a Christian. People know that I'm a follower of Christ. And even if they don't, God knows that. And I'm in a relationship with Him, not them. So how does it reflect back on God, this decision that I'm about to take? Would it be something that He would like to do with you? Just think about it, really. Would it be something that He would like to do with you? Go further, Daniel. Movie, song, or outing, whatever it might be, right? Sometimes, and I used to do this, okay? be sitting down on the couch and there's a movie on TV, right? And I want to watch this movie, action movie or whatever it might be, right? And then my parents aren't in the room and I'm watching and then the scene comes on and then my parents come in the room and straight away I'll change the channel because I'm like, the rest of the movie is fine, but this scene, oh, I'm not sure, I probably wouldn't like it. Mom and Dad probably wouldn't like it. If I'm sensitive enough to realize that Mom and Dad probably wouldn't like it, I should be sensitive enough to think, oh, probably Jesus wouldn't like it if Mom and Dad wouldn't be willing to sit next to me and watch this thing, right? Or listen to this music, or drink this, or whatever it might be, right? You fill in the blank for yourselves. If I had Jesus by my side, physically, right? And I proposed this idea to him, hey, you wanna go clubbing? Alright, what do you reckon, Jesus? Okay, I'm not gonna fill in these blanks for you, but the reality is that Jesus is with us. That Jesus is here, right? Just because he's not physically standing next to me, it doesn't mean that he's not there. In fact, it's quite the opposite. And we forget that as we make decisions, that he is always there. We forget that completely. So if you think of him as physically there, and you asked him to do this thing with you, whatever it might be, you fill in the blank. Would he approve? Would he want to do it? Right? Is it honoring to God? Is it an honorable thing? Is it honoring to God? Does it reflect well on him? Would it be something he would be proud of you for doing? Right? This is challenging stuff. I'm not saying that this is easy. I'm saying this is hard. Okay? But I'm saying that this is what you have to think about to become that godly character. This is what you have to think about to make the correct decision. Next one, more than that. Step one. Okay. He says this, but you are a chosen people, and I read this last week as well, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Never forget that you're an ambassador for Christ. Never forget that you represent him to the outside world. When people think Christian, they think of you. They don't think of Christ. They think of you. So it's up to you to reflect the genuine Christ. Not the fake Christ, the genuine Christ. The one who was loving, the one who was righteous, the one who was holy. It's your job to reflect him, okay? And to be a light for him. Take one, brother, name, please. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It doesn't matter. Like I said, fill in the blank. Whether it's, Paul goes as small as eating and drinking. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it to the glory of God. Okay, this is still under the glory, the is it honoring to God? Will it harm my mind? Think about it. This thing that you're about to do, will it harm my mind? And my mind, I'll add heart as well. Okay? Why? A good man, this is Jesus speaking, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, whatever actions I take, they never start as actions. They always start as thoughts. Always, 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 always starts as a thought. So this thing that I'm doing, is it affecting my thoughts? Because my thoughts will then turn into actions. Those actions are little decisions, and those decisions make up my character. So how am I thinking? What am I bringing out? Is this TV series that I'm watching brainwashing me into thinking a certain way? Is this group of friends that I'm hanging out with, are they making me think a certain way and leading me a certain way that I shouldn't be being led? Think, think, think. Is it harming my mind? The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes the judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject merely to human judgments, but we have the mind of Christ. Okay, I see I lost half of you in that second half of the verse. What he's trying to say is, if you belong to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the mind of Christ himself. You have God living inside you. You can tell what's right and what's wrong. You can tell when to push forward and when to pull back, okay? But a person who doesn't know Jesus, when you tell them the logic for why you're doing or not doing something, they think you're an idiot. What? Not go clubbing, not get smashed. Why? Why? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to me. It's foolishness to the outside world. It's not foolishness to us. Because we understand. Okay? There's a difference. So, next logical step is if it's begun as a thought and I action it, okay, will it harm my body? Here's a big one. Will it harm my body? Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We were talking about that price in worship. Jesus died for you. And now this body that you have is His home. Let that sink in for a second. That's His home. So what are you going to put inside? How are you going to furnish His home? How are you going to display His home to the outside world? If I walk by, we look at the White House, right? That's the president's home. That's where he lives. The most pristine looking thing you will ever see. The White House. Same with the Queen, okay, whose birthday was today. I don't know why I'm hung up on the Queen. Just saw her on the news like 15 times. Anyway, look at what the Buckingham Palace. Look at what Buckingham Palace looks like, right? The extensive gardens, the beautiful stuff, and like all the inside, the paintings. It's just a magnificent place. It's a palace. It's fit for a king or a queen, right? I'm the temple of God. Not Queen Elizabeth, God. How am I treating this thing? What am I letting into it? What am I putting out of it? This belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. He bought it. It's not mine anymore. When I accepted Him, I gave Him ownership over this. So I should be using this for Him. So think about whatever it is that harms your body. I'm not going to fill in those blanks for you. You're all intelligent enough to know what will harm your body. Just remember that your body belongs to God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. One of the most famous verses ever, Romans 12:1. Give your body to God and your soul and your mind and your heart, everything to God for service, for worship. Alright. This is a huge one. Assuming you've passed all the other tests, right, for whether this is a good decision or not, does it control me? Let me read you this. Okay, can I go one more? Can I stop if I want to? Am I addicted to this thing? Can I stop if I want to? Why do I say that? I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. I will not be mastered by anything, because whatever I'm mastered by, I'm a slave to that thing. If I can't stop watching this TV show, I'm a slave to that TV show. If I can't stop smoking, I'm a slave to smoking. If I can't stop drinking, I'm a slave to drinking. If I can't stop sex, blah, 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 whatever you want to take, I'm a slave to that. I will not have anything have dominion over me other than Christ. That's what the verse is trying to say. So, I ask you, can you stop if you want to? This thing that you're thinking about doing, can you stop if you want to? Because if you can't, then there's a problem there. It goes from gray to black. Okay, so that was step one. Step two. We'll summarize this at the end, because I'm like, there's no way you're going to remember all this stuff. Will it bring me closer to God? This decision that I'm about to make, this place that I'm about to go, this thing that I'm about to watch, this thing I'm about to read, drink, eat, smoke, whatever. Will it bring me closer to God? Such a simple question. You know the answer. You don't need me to tell you. Will it bring me closer to God? What is more, this is what Paul says. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. In other words, to Paul, Jesus is more valuable than anything. He says, if it doesn't bring me closer to Christ, I don't need it. I'm chucking it out and it's garbage to me. I really couldn't care less. For me, my number one priority is Christ. That's who I want to be with. That's who I want to get close to. That's who I want to know. If anything is going to get in the way of that, I'm chucking it out and calling it garbage, whatever it might be. And the things he mentioned before this verse, by the way, were amazing achievements in his life. And they were all good, nothing questionable in them. But they were getting in his way and they were weighing him down. And he says, I don't need him. Chucks him behind his back and says, garbage to Christ. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. If you pick these little decisions that lead you away from God, it won't be a giant decision all at once and suddenly I realize I'm far away from God. Satan never does that. It's always the slow road. It's always, C.S. Lewis said this, it's the slow and gradual road, the one that you never feel yourself walking on, that leads down to hell. That's what C.S. Lewis said. Satan will never, he knows who you are. He knows what resistance you have to things. It's the slow, gradual road. It's the tiny decisions. It's the little compromise here and the little compromise there that will lead you down the way that you do not want to go. That will lead you further and further away from Christ. Will it bring me closer to God? If no, chuck it behind your back and call it rubbish. This is the biggest one, and this is the last one, by the way. Okay, so tonight is a quick message because it's more about the discussion than the message. This is the framework for decision making, not me filling in the blanks for you. Okay, that you have to do by yourself. Okay, you want to bring up the whole slab, Daniel, because this one's big. One more. There you go. Okay, this is important. That's why there's so much text on it. Okay, this is very, very, very important. In fact, out of everything I've said, this is probably the most important. So please listen carefully. Try to understand what he's trying to say, and I'll explain it. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let's stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I'm convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in and of itself. Okay? I'm saying I can do whatever I want. Nothing just by itself is unclean. Sex by itself isn't bad, okay? Grapes that have been fermented for a while by themselves aren't bad, okay? Whatever. None of these things by themselves are bad, but I'm saying I don't want to put something in my brother's way that's going to trip him up, okay? Let's keep reading because this is important. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person, it is unclean. In other words, it's between you and God and your conscience and God. Somebody says, drinking is fine for me, and I'm not getting drunk. Drinking is fine for me. And another person says, no, drinking is not fine for me. God will judge that person based on him saying, drinking, if the person who says, drinking is not fine for me, drinks, God will count it against that person. If a person before God says, drinking is fine with me, and I understand, then God will not count it as holding it against that person, okay? What I'm trying to say to you is that it's between you and God and your conscience and God. If something weighs down on your conscience, you should not be doing it. Full stop. I don't care what anybody else is saying. And that's what Paul is saying, okay? We're going to keep reading. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. What you know... Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification or benefit. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. But it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Let me give you this in a practical scenario, okay? I'll say, I don't drink. Daniel says he drinks, okay? We go to a place where there's alcohol, okay? If I see Daniel ordering a beer, okay, I might be offended by that. Or I might stumble because of that. I might be like, okay, well maybe it's okay for me to drink a beer then, right? And I grab a beer and I drink it, even though I didn't want to. It's not a problem for him, but it is a problem for me. That's actually on Daniel, not on me. I've done the wrong thing, But Daniel is the one who brought it up and put it in front of me. Am I making sense here? So he's saying, if something is okay with you, but it's not okay with somebody else, don't do it when that somebody else is there. Because it's going to make them trip. Am I making sense here? Okay. I'm not talking about me and Daniel specifically. I'm giving a general scenario, okay? If you know that something is questionable with someone else, is going to make them trip, don't you dare. Don't do it. It's for you and God, whatever, between you and God will judge you for it. It's not my problem. But with other people you are leading, with other people who are watching you, it is your problem, and it is your responsibility. Whatever you believe about these things, verse 22 at the bottom there, whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. In other words, it's great if you have a conviction and you stick to it and you know that it's right before God and your conscience isn't troubled by it. Great for you, but keep it between yourself and God. Verse 23, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat. If I'm not sure whether it's right or wrong and I go for it anyway, I've made a mistake. Because their eating is not from faith, I'm not standing firm in what I believe. I'm still not sure. That's a mistake. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Romans 14, 12, 22. Next verse, we'll make it a little bit clearer. We said everything is beneficial. This is like the second last slide, okay? Everything is beneficial and I can do whatever I want. Still true. But I have to consider my brother. I have to consider my sister, okay? Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights, I have rights in Christ. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Somebody doesn't have the same view, the same point of view as you on tattoos. Somebody doesn't have the same point of view as you on alcohol, on whatever else it might be. Provided it's gray, not black, okay? When I talk about alcohol, the Bible says that getting drunk is a sin because you lose control of yourself and you are no longer honoring God. So when I say drinking, I'm not talking about getting drunk. I don't want you to get that mixed up, okay? Same with the other stuff. As long as it's still gray, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about gray. We're not sure which way to go, right? Here's where conviction comes in, and here's where spending time before God comes in, and here's where knowing His Word comes in. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you with all your knowledge, so I believe that this is completely fine, and I have knowledge, and I have verses, and I have conviction to back this up, but the other person in front of me doesn't. He doesn't feel the same way as me, and he doesn't know what I know, and his relationship with Christ isn't the same place that my relationship with Christ is, right? So what happens to that person? Won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? In other words, if I go out and I drink, and the younger ones in this meeting go out with me and they see me drinking, in their mind automatically, drinking is okay because Shadi is doing it. Does that make sense to you? They still haven't formed their opinion on anything. They don't know what I know. They haven't read it as like I have. They haven't prayed about it. They haven't been convicted of anything. But they just see me doing it and they're emboldened to do it when they haven't come to that same conviction. There's a problem there. Okay? So this week, brother, verse 11, or sister, for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. If I drink alcohol, I will never drink alcohol again. If I do this, I will never do it again. Blah, 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 whatever it might be. If it's going to cause a brother or sister of mine to fall down in their faith before God, or slip into something that they can't get out of, believe me, I will stop it. And so should you. It's far more important that we stop. Look at Jesus' warning. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. Jesus takes this seriously, to say the least. When I talk about leaders here, if anyone causes these little ones, it's as if there are older ones leading younger ones. That's not necessarily the case. You are all leaders in this room. Don't think that the people standing out the front are the leaders. No, that's not the case. You all have brothers and sisters and friends and family and co-workers. You are leaders to every single one of them. And if you cause them to stumble, this applies to you. Don't do it. Think about it. This is decision-making 101. Will it affect my brother and sister if I do this thing? Even if it's completely fine with me, do it to yourself. Do it by yourself. But while I'm with my brother and sister, will my way of thinking that I've come to on my own with Christ, will that affect that person negatively? This is a complicated one that we'll talk about later, okay? But you have to think about that. How will it affect the people around me? Summary. Yay, we're done. Okay, keep going. Is it honoring to God? Step one. Does it harm my mind? Does it harm my body? Does it control me? Am I addicted to it? Does it bring me closer to God? Does it cause my brother to stumble? In other words, does it bring others closer to God or does it lead them further away from God? This is a decision that I'm about to make. Do I go to this party? Do I watch this movie? Do I listen to this music? Do I get this tattoo? Do I do whatever? Put whatever it is in that blank against these. And then tell me your answer. It's not necessarily going to be wrong, but it's not necessarily going to be right either. And even if there's nothing wrong with it, is it beneficial? Is it edifying? Is it going to add anything of value to my life if I do this thing? If it doesn't, then you're living a mediocre life. You're living for less than what you were created for because you're just taking on these things that mean nothing and just adding them to your life day by day. And you'll keep living this average life down here when Jesus wants you up here. Finally, really, this is, it seems complicated and it seems like this, as if I'm going to sit down and think about all this every time I think about like whether to leave the house or not. I will never leave the house again. Okay, with men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. You have to remember that the life that we were called to live, we live through Christ. We live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we don't do this on our own. But the simplest way to sum all of this up is this verse. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about these things. Most of the time, there's a lot of gray, and we say, oh, I'm not really sure whether to do this thing or not, and then you guys ask us, and you ask your parents, and you think about it, and you say, show me the verse, and all this kind of stuff. But if we're really, really honest with ourselves, right? We look deep down, and the truth is we already know what's right. We do. You can feel it. You can tell. Before you leave the house, before you walk into that place, before you pick up that whatever it might be, before you watch this, before whatever. Deep down, 99% of the time, you know whether you should be or not. Follow what you know is right. You already know it. Just do it. Put it into action. Okay? So now we're gonna pray, but in the time of discussion, and next week again I announced that we're going to have a panel, okay? The panel is going to be about this topic, the gray. And then now we're bringing in specific things that we fill in the blank with. Now you can ask about whatever it is that you want to ask about, whatever decisions they might be. Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the pattern and the example that you are to each of us. We thank you that you want us to live an amazing life with you, Lord. But that requires sacrifice on our part, Lord. That requires us loving you more than anything else that's in our lives, Lord. And this is impossible for us, Lord, but it's not impossible for you, Lord. And I pray that for everybody who listens to this, Lord, and for everybody who is here tonight, Lord, that you would just really open their eyes, Lord, that you would remind them of these words, Lord, as they come to make those little and those big decisions, Lord, and that you would give them the courage and the strength to actually go through with what they know is right, Lord.
Lord Jesus, I pray the exact same thing for myself, Lord. It's so easy to stumble, Lord. It's so easy to lose track of what is right and what is wrong. And it blurs into gray so quickly. But Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord, that you would be that shining light in front of us, leading towards yourself, Lord, towards what is right, what is good, what is just, what is noble, what is whole. We thank you so much for tonight. Once again, we pray that these words would take effect in each of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.